Welcome everyone to the RAM Sports Radio Show. I want to welcome everyone to our podcast. Again, we do this every Tuesday, Thursday night, 10:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you can always catch us on the web by going to our website, rmsportsradio.com, or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/rmsportsradio. I'm only one half of the show. My name is Rodney Fisher, and the other half of our show is the other RM. Mr. Royce Christian, how are you tonight, sir?
Well, how you doing, Rodney? Thanks for that nice introduction. I'm just sitting there, just got through watching the game tonight, and I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about it tonight. So I'm game for whatever's up tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get into a lot of the Western Conference Finals as they finally end the game there. The Oklahoma City Thunder finally get a win, breaking a 20-game win streak by the San Antonio Spurs. We'll have more on that game later. We'll talk a little bit about the Eastern Conference Finals as well between the Celtics and the Miami Heat. And I got to get a little something off my chest about the NBA. We'll talk about that too.
Yeah, I know you're kind of upset about that. A lot of people talked about that the last couple of days. So it's it's a sore subject with a lot of people.
Yes, and it's going to be sore for me too. But I'm going to plead my case with you. Plead your case as well. Not only when we talk basketball, we get into a little football, a little bit of golf, a little bit of everything else going on as well, some Texas Rangers as well, too. So thank you guys for joining in. If you listen to us live, you're more than welcome to call in and join our podcast at any time. This is Sports Talk from a fan's perspective when you want to hear it. Let's start with the Eastern Conference Finals first. Let's start with my first little bonus pick right here, and that's the game last night. You had the Miami Heat, Boston Celtics. They go into overtime. Miami gets the win, 115-111 against Boston. And I think the only person you really talk about is Rajon Rondo, 44 points in 58 minutes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was Rondo's night. Great performance. We knew he had the potential, but for him to explode with 44 points, it's fantastic. And he actually scored the entire Miami bench, and a couple of players that started. So great performance by Rondo. But I know you got some thoughts about the game. Let's see what you have to say first.
Well, first of all, you know, and you're right, Rondo had a epic performance, you know, a performance that we've never seen in the playoffs before.
But
a guy played every minute.
For Boston Celtic, too. Larry Bird never had.
Well, for the NBA, period. And for a guy to have a game like that and a losing effort, even that bothers me even more. Because the Celtics did enough to win, I believe. I think the refs had a little something to say about that. In other words, I'm not pointing to two plays in particular. The first play, where Rondo driving the ball down the lane, trying to go for the layup, gets hit in the head, gets no call. The tie game at that point. They come back down. They get the easy layup to go over by two. There's a turnover. They go back down. And Dwayne Wade kicks Kevin Garnett. You can't jump up in the air and kick a guy from blocking your shot and not get caught a foul.
But Rodney, he was fouled before he was kicked. Let's get a correction on that.
I saw
the replay all day today. And we've seen this happen. I've seen Kobe throw his leg out. Reggie Miller. Dirk does the same thing. You know, and if you go into a guy, of course, now you're going to get kicked. I'm not going to call that. But I it was a great game last night, great performance by Rondo. I thought Miami stayed just enough to win, to get himself a chance to win. That's all you want to do. And it was Boston's game to lose. They were up 15 points. They controlled the entire whole game. They had no way of stopping Rondo. He did pretty much whatever he wanted to do. He was trying to do jump shots, some drive the lane, Paul Pierce, this. But, you know, one thing I'm seeing in this game is Kevin Garnett has gone silent in the fourth quarter. In the second half, I mean, he's great in the first half, but in the second half, you don't hear his name mentioned a lot.
You mean, well, Kevin Garnett played 45 minutes last night.
Yeah, but I'm just saying his scoring doesn't go up as the game progresses, his scoring goes down. And having said that, I think Boston gave that game away. They had every chance to win. They were leading the entire game. Fourth quarter, they let them come back. And for them to lose in overtime was all on Boston.
You can say that. You can say that, but I think the referees that have been playing that, and it hasn't been a good week for the NBA, in my opinion. You know, with a game like this, you saw how game one was officiated. The Boston Celtics shot 24 free throws, I believe. 29 free throws, I'm sorry. The Miami Heat shot 47.
Well, and you're absolutely right. There were a lot of free throws. I've never seen so many fouls and free throws in a game in a while. But, you know, even in the first quarter, it was a 5-0 in free throws, and Doc Rivers started complaining in. But you're absolutely right. I think the commissioner and the league is really hard on these guys. But they have to realize this is a playoff. You have to let these guys play. It is physical.
But you got to call a foul.
Yeah. And you got, yeah, and you know, with the text and some of the stuff we've seen in the playoffs, Matter World Peace last year, you know, he what he did last year against the Mavericks, you know, no.
And DuPont, too.
Bottom did the same thing, and the fights that happened. I think the refs are almost scared not to call something. I've seen a lot of text, too. And Doc Rivers got one that was uncalled for.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the referees need to, you know, the commissioner needs to sit down and tell these guys, yeah, I have to control the game, but at the same time, let these guys play. This is a playoff. This is a physical game. You know, this is a win or go home. And I know you don't like Miami, so you're going to be biased anyway.
I have a bias against Miami, of course. I want to get to the Miami side of things, too. Dwayne Wade on 2 points in the first half. He does finally finish up the night with 23 points. LeBron James, 34 points last night, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, but unable to hit the last-second shot to win the game in regulation, selling for a jump shot when he had Rajon Rondo got his only 6-1.
Well,
he's 6'8 Gardner.
But Rodney, you're not going to hit every last game-winning shot. You know, and earlier last year, everybody was critical of LeBron James because he didn't take the shot. This time he does take the shot. And you still could have got, at least he took the shot, and everybody else was standing around. And had it went in, it would have been great. But I've seen a lot of guys take the last shot, and not make it. If you went 19 times, you may get it 4 times. Now think about that. Not even 50% chance.
Not some
point. Right. Well, it's 50-50.
Let's play that the chance exclude from that.
But
like
it does happen.
Like Kobe Bryant.
But it does happen. Kobe's missed some. In this playoff this year, I saw Kobe miss some game-winning shots.
True.
But
yeah,
it does happen.
But you were
critical of LeBron last year because he didn't take the shot. You know, Dwayne Wade was the guy. But, you know, everybody came down on him because he wouldn't shoot.
So if I'm critical of him taking a shot, I can't be critical of him for missing.
Well, what if he had made it? Would it have been the greatest shot you've seen?
No, it wouldn't have.
Okay, that's all I want.
But we might not be discussing it if he put in the shot.
The fact of the matter is, and let's go back to the subject. The fact of the matter is, Boston blew that game. They clearly could have won. Great performance by Rondo. I don't know if you can get that. These guys, a lot older, they get a day's rest and they got to play tomorrow. I mean, and this game is sure enough physical. And I think Dwayne Wade, you know, he 2 points the first half. He got all his points in the second half. But I don't think he's going to be that sleep in the next game. I think he's going to come out scoring. And I know you don't like Miami, but I think it's going to be a long series for Boston.
Well, we're gonna find out. They got to play tomorrow night, and, you know, at the – putting in so much work. Paul Pierce, both Kevin Garnett,
a lot of minutes.
Ray Allen playing a lot of minutes on one ankle.
Right.
And then, of course, Rajon Rondo playing 53 minutes. So what kind of team will we see in Boston?
And they're not getting a lot from the bench either. So that does turn in a lot of minutes for the starters. And it should be a good game in Boston. I think it could be a good fight.
You think they're going to be too tired? They're going to make a real good effort.
I think they start out, I think, as the game progresses, that their body's going to take over and they're not going to be as good as they are in the first half. I think Miami takes one. You know, when you go to another town, it's a two-game series. How you want to split one?
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah, a little before.
Yeah, that's
we came
important.
Up.
Yeah, if you can take one game in another opponent's arena, you've done a great job.
I think they really should feel lucky about the fact that after a game like that, an emotional game, a physical game, you go back home and play. You know, had it been a road game, I could see them kind of falling or succumbing to, you know, being tired. But there's a home game, that home crowd's going to prop them up a little bit. I think they win games.
Yeah, but one thing I learned to realize, the home crowd doesn't play on the court. So you can get out. And I've seen crowds boost a team. I've seen teams quiet a crowd. So if Miami can keep the crowd out of the game, that takes away a lot of Boston's chances.
So do you have to win the game for real?
I'm giving it to Miami. I think Miami will take this. I think the way he woke up.
Miami going up.
And if they can get the role players to play like they did this past game, Bettier, Chalmers, and all of them contribute, even Haslett. What did he have, 14 points last night?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
great
14,
game. So you know, maybe if these guys can give half as much, if they can give them 35 points, we know LeBron and Dwayne Wade is going to get at least 50, 60. So if they're going to get 30 points, they have a chance of winning.
Right before that game, we got a chance to find out who's going to get the number one pick in the draft, what's the NBA lottery, who's going to get Anthony Davis. Y'all know he's going number one. And I said before the show,
you got a problem with this.
NBA, I got a problem with this, too. The New Orleans Hornets get the number one pick. Although the Charlotte Bobcats have both balls in the lottery there. And then on top of that, they had the worst record in the NBA, the worst winning percentage of all time, and don't get the number one pick.
Okay, here's my thought on this. I don't know a lottery that's not picks, because I play the lottery every week, and I never win. I think they all pick. But seeing that what happened in the city of New Orleans with the team being penalized and, you know, NFL, I think it's great for the city because, trust me, they needed something because the Saints are going to be in trouble this year. Having said that, it probably was rigged, just like it was rigged for Chris Paul not to go to L.A. and go to the Clippers.
It's just too many coincidences in the whole scenario.
Well, just think what it does for the Hornets franchise. If you're a Hornets fan, how would you feel about that?
I mean,
it's the greatest news in the world.
If I'm a Hornets fan, I'm ecstatic.
Right.
But as an NBA fan, I don't want to know that it's fixed. I don't want to look behind the curtain and see the guy that's controlling the Wizards of Oz. I don't want to see that. All I want to do is know that what's fair is fair, and the lottery system should be fair. You look at 85, Patrick Ewing going to the Knicks. You know, the improbability of that happening. Now the Hornets, a team owned by the NBA, vetoed the trade from Chris Carter to go to the Lakers when it would have ended up with Paul Gasol. They took some minimal players from the Clippers. They finally found someone to buy him, Tom Benson, who they gave him a great deal, and they had to come with a promise of, you know what, you buy the Hornets, you're going to get that number one pick. He shows up like he owns the team. He's going to take over the team since July 1st. It's still an NBA team. And he gets the number one pick.
Well,
just
like I said earlier, you name me one lotto that's not fixed, and I'll show you some pastor in Arizona that's an oasis. But having said that, you know, it's funny how it failed. I wasn't expecting that. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought maybe it should have been the Charlotte Bobcats with the number one pick and the Sacramento Kings. I would have been happy with those teams going one or two. I was a bit surprised that the Hornets did get it. It is what it is. It's not going to change. What did they didn't read? So I think the lotto was rigged. And it's just where it plays out. But if you're a New Orleans fan, You can't ever be ecstatic.
Yeah, if you know it's man,
It's going some fans were gonna be happy, some fans were not gonna be happy.
And also if you're in the Hall of Fame, you gotta be funny. You know what's up, you gotta basketball team. You got the number one pick in the draft. Can we get that quarterback? Can you sign Drew Brees?
I'm pretty sure, and we're going to talk about that later in the show. I'm surprised that hadn't happened. I don't know if he's too busy, but my understanding is Drew Brees is apparently he's okay with that because we're not hearing anything from Drew Brees.
Oh, you hear from Drew Brees?
You know, but that's not dominating the news.
Frustrated. Come on to say he doesn't like the fact he doesn't have a deal. The guy wants to get paid.
Well, what do you think the holdup is?
I'm telling you, man, I told you when the whole Bowden thing started happening, this is going to affect him the most. This is going to be the biggest loss to their face. He is not going to sign a deal with them unless they max him out to be the highest paid quarterback of all time. And he's the number one quarterback. This is going to affect in every category. Every category in the field. Pass completion, quarterback rating, passing yards.
Well, Rodney, we know the team was in disarray anyway because you lost your head coach. So what did you expect from the Saints this year? As I'm saying, they didn't expect a whole lot this year because they got the death penalty. You know, we talked about that. Oh, how worse could it be? Having said that, on one end, you're on both franchises. You lose Drew Brees, but you get the number one draft pick. And you get a franchise player. So it's a win-win for him.
Well, for the owner.
That's right. It's a win-win for him. So you lose. That's right. You get a franchise player with the number one pick. So it's a win-win for the owner.
For the owner, it's
right.
Not for the fans, though.
Well, just think if you were a Charlotte Bobcats fan and you got the number one pick, you'd be happy.
Of course I would.
So it's just the way it falls. And like I said, I think our lottos are rigged. You know, so it is what it is.
Let's jump to the Western Conference Finals. Again, I want to remind you guys, you want to follow us online. It's very easy to do. Just go to our website, rfsportsradio.com. Follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/rfsportsradio. Send us an email if you want to do any networking with us or get us on your website, rfsportsradio@gmail.com. The Spurs finally lose a game, Roy. They break a 20-game win streak and lose to the Oklahoma City Thunder 102-82. A game that wasn't really close in the second half at all as Oklahoma City used their youth and energy and their crowd to finally beat the Spurs.
Well, Ryan, I'm not surprised after the two embarrassment games they had in San Antonio. I figured these guys, you know, it's all or nothing. You have to win this game because you can't let the Spurs come in your house and take away two games. You have to at least win one of the two. But having said that, they played a great game tonight. San Antonio looked a bit slow to me.
Mm-hmm.
They looked a little bit out of sync. They had a lot of turnovers in the first half. They got back down early. They couldn't fight their way out. And everything went right for Oklahoma City. And I think this is one of the cases where you talked about the crowd being involved.
Yeah.
We've been in that arena.
Right.
And it's one of the loudest, most faithful fans we've ever seen. Matter of fact, they have just as many fans outside the stadium as they do in the stadium.
Yeah.
The whole town's out.
Right.
Yeah, I think everything was shut down because everybody's there watching their team and supporting their team. So I'm not surprised. And Oklahoma is a good team.
And, I think it's good, though.
I've seen them this good, and I've seen them what I've seen the last two games, where they're bad. So they go like Westbrook. We talked about him being out of control. He blew that game, the first two games. He was out of control. Tonight he was under control, and it wasn't just him. They got contributions from a lot of players.
Pelosi
had a great game. Even Perkins was knocking down shots. The defense was excellent. Great adjustment on the defense to counteract the San Antonio team. But at the same time, San Antonio didn't look worried. All they have to do is just win one game. They're still up to be 3-1. So they're really in a good sweep. And I didn't expect them to sweep anyway.
You know what? I think I was a little naive expecting the Spurs to sweep the Thunder.
Right.
This is a 1-2 team in the Western Conference.
Absolutely.
So I think I definitely was wrong about that.
And then you got the shooting, the number one shooting MVP this year.
Yes, sir.
Kevin Durant. So,
and the thing about the Thunder, you know, you talk about the other players, and they're supposed to have a great team. Ibaka having 14, his best chance so far in this series. And that's what's going to save you because we Spurs. Now, what they did differently is they didn't try to play so much isolation type of basketball. They kind of used something that the Spurs playbook, get passing the ball and not being afraid to take shots and go to the hole. So this, thought they had a great game in terms of that. As far as the Spurs are concerned, like you said, I don't think they're worried at all.
No.
I don't think Greg Popovich is worried. You saw him play the fourth quarter. He didn't play Tim Duncan, didn't play Tony Parker, didn't play Manu, didn't play Steven Jackson, didn't play Boris Diaw.
And he had five guys off the bench that I hadn't seen out there at all. So,
right.
So, he did. But this is a veteran team. They know how to play. And I don't think any team's going to go undefeated from this point on in the playoffs because it's down to the four teams, and the four best teams are there. So, and this Oklahoma team is really good. You can't deny that. They are a good team. They had the best record. Fisher came in and changed the dynamics to this team. These guys played together in the playoffs last year. So, they know what it's like.
Who they were missing tonight was Kawhi Leonard. Only had 2 points out of playing 14 minutes. But I tell you what, expect to see the boy Juwan Blair in the series.
Yes, that's right.
Juwan Blair played 9 minutes, 47 seconds tonight, had 10 points and 6 rebounds.
And, Blair was the starter.
Yeah.
So the guy can put up points. I think he has more offense than Bart Diaw. I think he'd be a better offensive threat.
Yeah, he has to be. As far as they are, they're convincing tonight. Right. 1 point in 14 minutes.
Right. That's a great defensive player, but he's not going to get you much offense. And that's what I saw tonight at San Antonio. They couldn't get – nobody was instant offense. If Tony Parker was scoring, who was it coming from? Now, late in the game, I saw other guys contribute, but, that was late on.
So – I think the Spurs bounce back and win game four, go back to San Antonio 3-1 and put them out in 5 games. Kind of like the Mavericks did last year.
Yeah.
Exactly like the Mavericks did last year.
You're right. And I've seen the best and worst of Oklahoma City. We saw what the Mavericks did to them last year in the playoffs. They were a veteran team. And we saw some of the same things that San Antonio's doing, the same thing Dallas did to them. Just take them out of that game. Play your game. You dictate the pace of the game. And San Antonio can play small and tall with this team. So they can match up real good.
So who you got Spurs coming back or what?
Yes, I'm going to say Spurs win this.
Yep, I'm going to say it as well, too.
So we split on the first game. And we And we picked the same day
on the second game.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Again, we'll remind everyone if you want to ever catch up with us, like I just go to the website, rfsportsradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at rfsportsradio. We talked a little bit last week about T.O. and his further downfall. Now being cut by the Africa and had a lot of response and stuff from that. And Jerry Jones, I got to talk about the Cowboys a little bit. He comes out and talks more about how the window's closing and they got to get something done now. You've been critical of Jerry, and I know you're a Cowboys fan at heart. I know you don't play one on
one. Nah, I really haven't been critical of Jerry. I've been critical of some of his choices.
But that's what this is about, Jerry's choice.
Okay, right.
It's about Jerry's choice.
I'm critical of Tony Romo and few other George players.
I have to constantly remind myself that Jerry is the customer sales person. He's gonna do a great job.
I've been telling you that every year when you buy into wherever you sell it, because you buy into it.
Yeah, so
he's a great salesman.
I'm buying into it this year.
Okay.
I'm buying into it this year with Jerry. Some of he's been saying the moves in the offseason. If he didn't find the great muscle.
Well, one thing about Jerry, no matter what happens from this point on, whether he wins another Super Bowl or not, he did build one of the world's largest, the 11th wonder of the world in Austin, Texas, that long after Jerry's gone will be remain standing as one of the, 11th wonders of the world. So he did do something great, even if he doesn't win another Super Bowl. But I understand Jerry's point. You know, it's frustrating. He used to win. You can watch him. I watch him at the games when they lose in the last couple of years. It's taking its toll on Jerry. You know, you can look at it, man. I mean, this man loves the Cowboys. And he's been hurt. I mean, he's just like a lover, man. I mean, he's been hurt. He loves this team. And he's done everything he can. And the thing to stress and, is getting to him.
Yeah.
It's time for him. This is his baby. He built it, man. I think he let it get out of control. I think Jerry wants to take the reins back. He wants to win.
Yeah.
And we know he's tried everything under the book to win.
Yeah, the reason why I want to talk that was because we covered him, covering the Cowboys during training camp. But I feel like the seat right now has gotten so
I feel sorry for him.
The seat is hot for Gary. The seat is hot for Romo. And it's getting hotter and hotter, and the season hadn't even started yet.
Well, that's what I say. I'm not critical of Jerry Jones, just his charge. Garrett and Tony Romo, I think he stuck with Tony, put too much stock in Tony Romo and made a bad decision by hiring Jason Garrett. That's my point. There were too many other great coaches out there. He could have went out there. And if he had got them the same time he got Jason Garrett, Cowboys would be in a much better position right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't, I can't deny that. It's kind of like the way I feel about the Mavericks.
So,
yeah, keep getting the young talent and developing the young talent.
Jerry's two decisions, I think, have worn on him, like you said. They're two bad decisions. I think so. And he put too much stock. I think Tony Romo has really broke his heart.
Yeah. He said it. And
it was like his son. He broke his heart.
He said it in the comments after the practice on Wednesday, OTAs on Wednesday, that, I don't have time for a bad time, what he said. Right. Some of these guys have reached their peak.
He's like the son that sits around the house. When you going to get out of the house, son? Try to take care of you. So maybe he's at that point. Try to take care of you, get a job, get out of here, or go win a Super Bowl.
Before we get out of there, we want to say
we got to talk about Tiger.
Yeah, go ahead.
Tiger Woods, you want to root for the guy, but he breaks your heart. He's a still a heartbreaker, too. I'm not going to get too concerned. He played pretty good today on the par five. Great, played. He's been bad the last two tournaments he's played in. He's two under par. So, far into the lead. I'm not going to start. I'm not going to get my hopes up. For Tiger. Until he wins one, I'll root for him. But Tiger's broke my heart a lot of times because you want to root for the guy.
Explain this to anybody out there. Let me explain this to if when you have a coach comes in and says, you know what, everything you're doing is wrong. Change your whole swing. You have a coach come in and say that after you've won all those majors, all those 3-8 tournaments, something wrong with that. What was wrong with his swing?
Well, actually,
what was wrong with what he was doing? I think he's winning.
I think Tiger's life was turned so much upside down that he got the wrong advice. I think he should have just walked away from the game a while, took 2-3 years off. He was at the height of his game and come back later. But he didn't do that. And I think that it's going to be hard for him to get to that.
Sometimes you can be overcoached.
You know
what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like you got to do what naturally comes. That's why Dad was good about helping him because the Dad kind of let him do what came natural to them.
Right.
They need swing like this. Either have your down swing this way. Your swing's
right.
All wrong, Tiger. Let's fix it. There's nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong with Tiger's swing.
You have to be right. But like I said, I think his life was turned upside down so much that I think he got bad advice. And you can put that on bad coaching advice. Whoever told him to leave Hank Haney, I don't understand that one. They were great together, you know, and I think he just got bad advice down the line, you know, as his life turned him around, you know. And I think he should have walked away.
Did you hear ever win again?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll win. I think he will.
Again.
Anything's possible.
You know, some of these golfers go years and years and years.
And never win.
Majors.
Right.
Between major wins.
That's right.
Wait. But it's all that matters to Tiger being just the average golfer now.
Well, you know, he can, sooner or later, he's going to go on the senior tour. So he's going to continue to win majors, you know. How long he plays, I don't know. But I think he will win another.
Will he ever come back and finally get
it? We'll never see the Tiger we saw back in 2009, 2007. You know, the old Tiger. No, I don't think we ever will.
Wow.
It's just like Ali, when he's in his prime, he had to step back. You know, he didn't box for a while. When he came back, it wasn't the same Ali.
He's still the greatest golfer, you think? No matter,
he will always be. Yes, he will. But his accomplishment, you can't take it away from him.
Well,
he did change the world of golf.
That's right. Let's talk about somebody that is considered to be one of the greatest in his sport as well, too. For Mayweather Jr. would be going
well,
to
that's
death.
Your generation.
What
he's
your
not name? The greatest.
Well, Tiger's my generation.
True. But
okay.
Mayweather's not the greatest.
I said considered to be one of the greatest. Now, he's the only undefeated.
Yeah, okay.
Greatest
of your time.
But he's going to start his 87-day sentence on tomorrow. Stemming from a domestic dispute, they say it really came down to hair pulling and orange twist. Some type of attack in September 2010 to the mother of three of his children. And now he's going to serve 87 days and have to beat him with Miguel Cotto. And he'll come back out, he'll be Monday again.
Well, Rodney, it's one or two ways to go to jail. You can go to jail broke, or you can go to jail with a lot of money.
He went
to jail with a lot of money. He probably has the best room, you know what I mean? You know, money in jail can buy you a lot of stuff.
It's true.
You know, you guys on commentary, you don't have to do anything. Now, think about that. So, really, he's going to take some time off. He's going to sit back and relax. But he's engaged, am I right?
Yeah.
To another woman. So, I don't know. You do the time, you got to do the crime, you know, vice versa.
In fact, yeah, I set the fight on June 9th, and we're going to try to have on some people next week that can kind of talk more about this Pacquiao rally fight. We want to thank you, everybody, for listening to us tonight. Make sure you download us on iTunes. Go to iTunes and just search for RF Sports Radio. Go to our website, there's a link there. Go to rfsportsradio.com. Follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/RF Sports Radio. Find our podcast there and also find it on the Sports Chronicle at thesportschronline.com.
And you know what? I like to see Jerry get that fire back. You remember when he first bought the Cowboys? The guy had fire. I don't see that fire in Jerry anymore. So I'm glad to see him get the fire back on. I don't know what happened to lit it, but I'm glad he's got the fire back on. And go ahead and be the old Jerry that we know, the change of lead.
Spoken like a true
the
Cowboys.
The stadium, you know.
Spoken like two Cowboys. Man.
Okay, there you go.
Again, thank y'all for joining us. We'll see y'all next week. Until then, be safe. Thanks for tuning in to RF Sports Radio, Sports Talk from a fan's perspective when you want it.